In the name of God, who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. Seated. Your side is one of a few refrains that are heard often in our car whenever we're out after dark in December. My side is another, along with ooh and wow, which are usually performed simultaneously. So if you hear your side in our car, it means that you're to look out the window opposite whoever said it, to bask in the merry, multicolored glow of Christmas lights, covering a house or filling a yard, transforming darkness into delight. Ooh, wow. My side, and we all turn and look out the other window to see another display with twinkling strands like rows of stars wrapped around tree branches or draped over hedges or outlining a door filled with a wreath. Every night there's another and another and another. Houses we'd hardly noticed before, now softly aglow and some brightly ablaze in the spirit of the season. And by Christmas, there's no more your side or my side. The light is everywhere. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. Not a prophet, though he sounded like one. Not a madman, though he looked like one. Not a Messiah, though some people thought he might be one. John came as a witness to testify to the light. God's people lived in darkness, not the kind December brings, but the kind we bring upon ourselves and upon others. The kind of darkness that happens when people are oppressed by those who have more power. The kind of darkness that happens when communities are divided, when class or race or gender become measures of worth. The kind of darkness that happens when people lose hope and submit to a life of despair. Into these kinds of darkness, John came as a witness to testify to the light. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And so in this gospel account, John's sole purpose is to notice light and to point others toward it, to reflect light and draw others to it. And so John will preach about a world turned upside down by God, in which authorities no longer exercise undue power. He will call upon people to repent and return to God, the source of light and life. And he will baptize those whom others considered unclean, making them members of a community from which they had long been excluded. John came as a witness to testify to the light, who was with God in the beginning, who would shine in the darkness and not be overcome, who would be with God's people to the end of the age, and who was even now among them, though he'd hardly been noticed yet. Your side, John would say, there he is, pointing as Jesus passed by. And our own Andrew looked and was immediately drawn in when Jesus said for the first time in that gospel, but not for the last, come and see. Be a witness. By evening, Andrew, all aglow, ran to his brother. "We have found the Messiah," Andrew said, testifying to the light. And after that, another saw, and then another turns to look, each one becoming a witness, softly aglow, some brightly ablaze, until in another gospel account, Jesus will say to all of them, he will say to all of us, "You are the light of the world. Now shine. Shine." So that's what we weren't doing in our car, night after night. Ooh, wow. We admired all the Christmas lights, even seeking them out, taking the long way home just to pass by more houses that might have made the effort, peering down side streets in search of extra special illumination. And then finally, we'd pull into our own driveway, which was dark, except for the porch light that we left on every night of the year. God's people, which is to say all people, which is to say certainly all of us, God's people still live in darkness. Both the kind December brings and the kind we bring upon ourselves and upon others. There is still the kind of darkness that happens when people are oppressed by those who have more power. There is still the kind of darkness that happens when communities are divided, when class or race or gender become measures of worth. And there is still the kind of darkness that happens when people lose hope and just submit to a life of despair. These kinds of darkness filled the worlds of Isaiah and the psalmist, of John and the people of Thessalonica, all of whom we heard from today. And these kinds of darkness fill our world still, fill our communities. They fill our churches. On our doorstep, even in our midst, there are still the oppressed, the brokenhearted, prisoners, those who mourn, those who dream of waking up to a day without sorrow. There are the powerful, the poor, those who are weary or bitter, or who feel forgotten. There are the sick, the abused, the addicted, the self-righteous. Nearly everyone is afraid in this darkness. Those who aren't, I think, are afraid of the light. But that light is already in the world, even as we wait and watch for it again. Among you stands one, among you already stands one you do not know, John said to those who had come to him for illumination. The light that came into the world at Christmas was the same light from the beginning of creation, and it is the same light to which we are called to bear witness and testify, even as we watch for it in Advent. This light is not on your side or my side, but in our midst. And we are all of us called to shine. Our individual efforts glow softly. A single alternative giving card that sends a few dollars to our breakfast club. One wrapped gift for one child from our angel tree. One Advent visit to a homebound parishioner. Each effort, one voice crying out in the wilderness. Our individual efforts glow softly, though in countless little bursts of light. And every small light beats back some of the darkness, and taken together, we shine. In her essay entitled Letter to a Young Activist, Clarissa Pinkola Estes wrote, "In any dark time, there is a tendency to veer toward fainting over how much is wrong or unmended in the world, but any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world will help immensely." She says, "To display the lantern of soul in shadowy times like these, to be fierce and to show mercy toward others, both are acts of immense bravery and greatest necessity." She says, "Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it." This year, there are lights on our house. It took effort. A ladder, a few nails. There's masking tape on the front porch. I don't know why. There was a search for the right extension cord, the checking and rechecking of which way to line up the strands end to end so you have the right end to plug into the wall. It took a teenage son. But perhaps someone driving by, having taken the long way home in this darkness, will call out your side, and a little bit more darkness will have been transformed into delight. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. So also are we called. Let us shine. Amen.